Morning.
Hey, guys. Welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Back at it. Just sat down, run around this morning. Dad's been getting more propane done right now. Propane price have finally come back down for the generators. You know, it was a while back ago. I remember they came by to fill up my tanks. I got a big tank for my home generator. And I asked the guy, I said, how much is it per gallon? He goes, well, I don't know how much it is per gallon. It generates a price after I fill it up. And I said, okay.
Well, no, I just had this conversation with him.
Same thing?
He told me, I said, what are you charging me for this today? Because they already told me what they're going to charge me from dispatch. You know, I have no idea.
Yeah.
And I said, well, how am I supposed to pay you if you have no idea?
Yeah.
Well, I'll leave you an invoice. You can pay it. And he goes, the prices, I've seen them go anywhere from $3 a gallon to $14 a gallon.
Right.
A gallon of propane, $14?
No, so last time I had filled up, I got the same conversation. Nobody ever called me, told me anything. So they fill it up. It wasn't that empty. It's a 500, and it only took, like, I think, 100 gallons. And he leaves me a bill. I get home, and it's like an $800 bill. It's like over $7 a gallon for propane. And I'm like, this is odd. So I go on the internet, start clicking in what national average propane prices are and what Florida prices are. Average price is like $2.79 a gallon. And I call them up, and I said, I need you guys to amend this bill. You guys are like three times too much money. Oh, that's the price. I said, okay, well, that's the price. Well, this is my tank, and it's buried in my yard, and I own the tank. So let me know when you guys want to settle the price with me. And dude, they called me up like 3 months later. When are you going to pay this bill? I said, I'm going to pay the bill when you guys have the standard price in Florida. Click. Next 3 months later, we're ready to settle the bill. Well, propane price is $2.59 a gallon. I said, how hard was that? How hard was that?
But they won't tell you the price before.
No, they won't.
The gas.
They will refuse to tell me the price before.
I just ask you. Tell me. He goes, I don't know.
dude, we're not playing this game.
But how many people play that game?
Well, how many people don't realize it?
I went to a Lazy Days a few years ago, and one of my actuator in my motorhome step was out. It's like a $100 part, and they ended up giving me a bill for like $2,800. Remember that? And it was like a, you know, and I looked at him, I said, what are you doing? And he said, well, it's the part. I said, no, it's not.
It's like an hour, 2 hours billable time.
I was under the motorhome. I could have fixed it in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And so I told him, I said, so I got the part from the shop, and I took it to the parts department. I said, how much is this? $100. Okay.
Yeah.
So I called the manager up. I said, what are you doing? This is ridiculous. And he said, well, this is the bill. I said, nah, this is going to get a call to the state attorney's office.
Yeah.
What this is going to get. And he looked at me kind of funny, and he goes, okay, let me check. And he came back and goes, oh, I've adjusted the bill for you. And I'm like, here's the problem. How many old people, it was a couple hundred bucks. How many old people don't think about that and just go ahead and just pay the bill? And then, oh my gosh, it's expensive. Here's my credit card. And you think to yourself, how many people do this all the time? And it's sad.
Well, no, I had a friend of mine, he was talking to me the other day, and his grandmother, she's on fixed income, and she had some medical bill that came in for something stupid. I mean, it was like she went in for something, it was like $1,800, and I told him, I said, well, tell her not to pay it. He goes, well, they're going to send it to collections. I said, tell them to send it to collections. It's $1,800. She was in the doctor's office for like 10 minutes. I said, tell them to negotiate the price. It's probably worth $400 or $500 bill. And then sure enough, he calls back. He goes, well, she already paid part of it down. And I said, why doesn't anybody stop and go back and say, remember, you have a right to negotiate a bill. You have a right to say, this is usury. This is not okay. This is not standard operating pricing. This is not industry standard. I'm not paying for this right now. And before you go to collections, it takes months to go to collections.
Well, and it's always this. Like, you know, when you go to healthmasters.com website or Team Health Masters, here's the product. Here's the price.
Yeah.
Here's the shipping cost. That's exactly what it is. Okay, so you know in advance what you're going to be getting and what you're going to be paying. And a lot of these guys don't do that. The hospitals are the worst.
Oh, they're the worst. That's why I
remember years ago when I had to go in for back surgery. This is when you were born. And I remember and I didn't have any insurance to cover it back then. And so they give me this insane bill, like $85 for an aspirin that I never even took. That I never even took. And I told him, I said, I didn't take these meds. And well, yeah, but we billed you for them. I'm like, I'm not going to pay something I didn't pay for that I didn't do. And it was ridiculous what they do. And hospitals are the worst. So be really careful if you're buying something, you know, like propane, and they won't tell you what the price is.
And that's always the ones where they try to get you. It's where they don't tell you the final price, and they want you to basically consume the product or take the product or purchase the product, and then they get you a next price. And even dealerships, we've talked to you guys about that.
Watch out for
these dealerships and also these packages they put on there. I had a friend of mine ways back that was working for a dealership, and they ended up quitting eventually because they got so sick of the usury, because they had people coming in to buy these like $20,000, $25,000 used cars. And at the end of it, they'd be like, oh, yeah, well, we have this protection package. We've done paint protection and tear protection and nitrogen. It's a $4,000 package. It's really going to protect your vehicle. And just a lot of the people go, okay. Financing most of that, because it's just financing. Rolled a $22,000 car, tax tag, title, addendum, or add-on, or additional protection. So it'd be like $30,000, $32,000 out the door. They go back, trade in the car, 6 months later, 12 months later, it's worth $15,000. That's what it really was the first way. And then you start running into this upside down, and it starts that treadmill.
And here's the thing. If the dealership wants to put an addendum on, that's their job to ask if you want the addendum. But if they're a good dealership, they will take it off immediately. And here's how I always tell you this. We're going to give you extended warranty packs for $5,000.
Yeah.
All right? Now, in some cases, that might not be a bad deal.
Sometimes it can be if it's a legitimate or especially certified pre-owned.
That's right. Okay? That might be an okay deal. But here's the problem. If you're not going to keep the car past the warranty period to start with, then what's the point of getting it? Now, also remember, the majority of those extended warranty packages are prorated. So in the event that you never use it, they have to give you the money back.
Correct.
I just thought I'd mention that to you. And so that I had that happen one time. I had this car that was coming out of warranty. It was 3 years old. And I had ordered another one. It was going to be like 6 months before it got there. And so I got the extended warranty on it. It was like $1,500. And I never used it. And finally, it was a 36-month extended warranty. And I only used it for like 6 months. They gave me almost all my money back.
Right. That's the thing to look at, too. And then another one, too, like I said, of manufacturers like Ford, GM, all those. If they take a used vehicle in from original owner, a lot of times they'll do a certified pre-owned, and that actually is an additional warranty from the factory. That's usually pretty good, worth it. And speaking of trucks and all that, we're going to see this has come out now this week with this BBB. According to this bill and Congress, 100% depreciation returns in 2025 for small business owners. It says the new law permanently restores 100% bonus depreciation for eligible assets. This factored in a lot of times into the equipment, light trucks, you know, Super Duties, Chevy, stuff like that, qualified improvement property, computer hardware, software. And so make sure, and I'm not giving you any financial advice on this, but if you're doing your taxes, you're filing stuff up, make sure you're looking at the depreciation schedule on this, because even though that BBB bill is a giant nightmare, this is really big for small business owners that can write certain products off and certain items off in their business and really save a lot of money. This, again, just my giving you guys the news on that. Make sure you check with your accountant before you do any type of legal or tax as far as filing. I want to cover that on there. And also, this is interesting.
This is a strange one.
This is a strange one that I saw yesterday. Okay. Remember we talked to the shooting yesterday, right? That big shooting that happened in New York, horrible shooting. The security guard got shot, front desk worker got shot, another lady downstairs got shot. Then another girl upstairs in the Blackstone floor got shot. Well, what's interesting, nobody's talking about is the real estate income trust CEO for Blackstone happened to be the main person shot down in the lobby when this guy came in with his AR in Manhattan building on Monday morning. Now, it's really strange about this because Blackstone is the largest private equity firm in the world as far as it holds the largest amount of real estate, commercial and residential, in the entire world. BlackRock is the biggest equity firm. They're both the same. They have two different owners, and they're same. Essentially, they own the same company. They're cross-owned. What's interesting about this now is nobody's really discussing. Back a year and a half ago, Blackstone's massive real investment trust, Blackstone Real Estate Income Trust, filed its Securities and Exchange Commission and essentially had some very serious issues. It said BREIT was a centerpiece for a long-term strategy to capture over $1 trillion in assets from individual investors. It's 6 months after the volume investor share purchase request compelled Blackstone to exercise its right to restrict repurchases to stabilize the trust liquidity, meaning they weren't as liquid as they were pretending they were. And what's happened now is the Securities Exchange Commission disclosure, they went in and said now that essentially they can't pay its 4.7% distribution in cash, so they paid half of it in stock, creating significant dilution for investors. Now, this is like a year and a half ago, and this is some crazy stuff that happened during that. Now, what's interesting, though, Wesley LePatner, the CEO of this, basically, of this real estate income trust from Blackstone just took over. Frank Cohen was the previous CEO. She just took over a few months ago at the beginning of the year. Now, again, I'm not going to throw any type of conspiracy stuff out there. I'm not going to go down some black rabbit hole today and go see Alice in Wonderland, Mad Hatter. We're not going there today. But what I am saying is that movie, The Shooter.
I am.
The movie The Shooter.
Shooter or Jack Reacher?
No, Jack Reacher. That's what it was. With that scene when he shoots those people on that front.
He shoots five people.
Five people. Everybody's at random, they think, until they figure out this one lady that got shot first was the one that was going to file all these papers and not sell this gigantic company and liquidate all the assets.
Well, what they had a company that was basically a construction company that built roads to nowhere.
Right.
Well, you see that all the time.
Yeah.
You see the never-ending highway projects in Florida. It never ends. Instead of just building it right to start with.
Or expanding the ones that need to be expanded.
Gosh, it's unbelievable. And but so what they had to do, they had to make sure that it looked like a random shooting of five different people so they wouldn't draw attention to the one woman. Remember that? And then she was the one who was the target. And so the crazy part about this is that we're not saying this at all with this girl here from Blackstone, but it just seems odd to me that he goes into the wrong building, or I'm sorry, the right building, but the wrong floor, the wrong office, and starts shooting people down in the lobby. So is this something that was designed because somebody needed to be quiet? I don't know. This is all conspiracy at this point. Now, this is pure conjecture on our
part. Yes, I'm not claiming anything. And my condolences to Wesley the Patton and her family. This is horrific when anybody deals with stuff like this.
But she was a big-time asset.
She was a huge deal. I mean, she was the CEO of essentially the real estate income trust from Blackstone. I mean, they handle insane amounts of real estate globally. She was the CEO.
Trillions.
She just took over a couple months back. And it's ironic to me, she's down in the lobby with security in the front desk and happens to be shot with the only other two people that get shot. And then this guy goes up to the wrong floor in Blackstone, shoots another female that basically just started, and then kills himself. If he was going on a rampage with an M4, it's always strange when you see just a few specific people targeted. When you have these mass shootings like they had at Mandalay Bay, with the two helicopters with the M240s on top, and they're just mowing down dozens and dozens and dozens
we
of
think.
People.
We don't know what that was.
I talked to people that are out there. I mean, it definitely people got shot. But the alleged story was that basically there were Black Hawks in the air because there were two planes or two helicopters that were never identified. They were on the radar at the time.
That means their locator beacons were turned off.
Right. And you can see on the videos.
It's called transponders.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You can see on the videos that there was massive, massive gun flash. And it sounded like 240 was going off. Anyways,
this was not a newsworthy story we just covered, but it seems to be a little bit of strange coincidence again to me, especially after that movie Jack Reacher, and you start seeing how they do what they do.
Well, and what we're seeing now with Blackstone and BlackRock in this giant housing crisis that's starting to occur that nobody's talking about again. We watched during COVID the prices of houses go up so exponentially high. A lot of it was artificial due to BlackRock and Blackstone's buying up of subdivisions that we've talked about, buying up entire subdivisions, elevating the price, ripping off the customers. And now what's happening is these prices are falling back down to earth. And so a lot of this housing that they're holding, a lot of these mortgages that these companies are holding are not stable like they're pretending they are. So again, does this involve anything? I have no idea. Complete rabbit holing on this, but I just wanted to cover that because I saw it yesterday and I thought it was kind of interesting. I want to throw that out there. What do you think?
Oh, by the way, the change topics. The FBI has a secret prison tape just happened to show up now with no missing minutes.
Oh, of course. Right. Because they could have released that the first time.
Well, I guess it could be. They wouldn't do a loop. They wouldn't just take the last minute that was there. And
we'll just make AI produce a video now.
And, you know, it said, and Bettina Brown now, and, you know, talking about Ghislaine's secrets, whoever Tina Brown is. And what's interesting about it is now they're saying that Ghislaine Maxwell's life may be at risk in the prison.
Oh, yeah.
It says, there we go. Ghislaine's life could be in danger after she met with the Justice Department to reveal new details about Jeffrey Epstein, according to one of the top investigative reporters. Miami Herald reporter Julie K. Brown told the Daily Beast podcast host Joanna Coles that she believes Maxwell 63 is not safe in a Florida prison. It is not so easy to cover up a crime in jail, Brown said. The cameras are broken. The guards fall asleep. They are, and for the most part, very corrupt. I'm going to repeat that. That's what happened with Epstein. Remember, the guards fell asleep and the cameras were broken.
Yeah.
Coles asked Brown, whose reporting on Epstein in 2018 led to renewed scrutiny on the sex offender and federal charges against him, and Maxwell, whether Maxwell could be at risk after she had agreed to speak to the Department of Justice last week. Yes, it's possible, Brown said, but she wouldn't necessarily be safe anywhere. Now, there's no, that's an absolute fact, unless she was in Israel.
Well,
No, she's safe there. Fears for Maxwell's safety go back before she met with Trump's personal lawyer, Todd Blanche, who is now the Deputy Attorney General of the United States. David Marcus, Mark Maxwell's attorney, described during a 2023 podcast episode how prison officials had followed Maxwell around with a camera after she was arrested. The guards appeared eager to ensure that Maxwell did not face the same fate as Epstein, who died in 2019. I don't believe he died at all. They had a handheld camera, Marcus said. Even when I was meeting with her in a little room, they sat outside of the room with a camera.
Really?
I guarantee they're not doing it anymore.
No.
I had never experienced anything like it, and it was surreal. Since Epstein's death, speculation has swirled over how such a high-profile suspect could die by suicide at a closely monitored prison days after he was placed on suicide watch. They always tell you that you're on suicide watch because that way if you commit suicide,
it's already... Right. Well, we warned you guys.
The Justice Department affirmed suicide as its cause of death earlier this month. Not, but MAGA conspiracies ran rampant after a video it promised was in full raw footage of the Epstein jail had 3 minutes of footage left, but now they're finding they have found the footage. Yeah, okay. The DOJ has previously found that Epstein was left alone against protocol during the attempt, and multiple overworked guards had neglected the duties while monitoring his prison eating and sleeping very soundly. Look at Epstein, Brown told Coles. He was probably one of the most high-profile prisoners that we've ever had, and still he has managed to be found dead. Anything is possible. Former Daily Beast editor Tim Brown revealed earlier this month that an FBI source had ominously warned a journalist that Epstein would never face justice. Epstein will never make it to trial. There are towels on the inside, the agent told journalist Contra Schnaff, who had covered Epstein for the Daily Beast just after federal officials arrested him in 2019. I don't know what they mean by towels on the inside.
Well, I think he tied towels and sheets together to hang himself on the 3-foot-tall bed.
On November 2023, report from the Department of Justice, but I can't comment on that. The Inspector General found that the Federal Correctional Institute in Tallahassee, where Maxwell's being held. Oh, I taught there. That was the prison I taught at.
Was it really?
Yeah. I have inside knowledge of that facility.
Oh, boy, here we go.
I did. I taught there for a year. Well, that's interesting. I didn't know she was there.
Well, careful what you say now.
Oh, yeah.
You're on record there.
Yeah. Well, that was interesting. I had to go through a security station every time I walked into that place.
Yeah, dude. A
November 23 report from the Department. I like being surprised on air like that. A 2023 report from the Department of Justice Inspector General found that the Federal Correctional Institute in Tallahassee, where Maxwell's being held, suffered from many of the problems that leave prisoners at risk, including weakness with inmate search procedures. That's a fact, by the way. I was there. And limited security camera coverage. That's a fact. I was there. They were so funny. I was teaching a bunch of felons, right? And so they had a telephone on my desk. And they said, now, if any of these guys threaten to kill you, take that phone off the hook, and we'll be here within 45 seconds. And I looked at them, I just started laughing. And they said, why are you laughing? And I said, you know, I've been in a few fights in my life. And
a lot of stuff.
I said, whatever happens here is going to be over with in 45 seconds.
Yeah.
The guy goes, well, we'll get her as quick as we can. I'm like, great. But two people were found dead at the facility, at one Tallahassee federal inmate and a man being held at the detention center last year. No cause of death were released. Maxwell has already faced trouble at the prison. Two inmates reportedly discovered that she had gotten a kitchen worker to give her more food to satisfy her vegan diet, and they threatened her unless she spent her entire $360 budget on them, according to the Daily Mail. Maxwell did report the two women named Las Cubonas due to their Cuban heritage to the prison, and they were sentenced to nearly 50 days in solitary confinement, the Mail reported. After two women were released, Maxwell eventually got paranoid that they would seek revenge and refuse to use the showers, according to the Mail. Oh, I'm not going to read more of this. You guys can read it yourself. But this is the life at the Federal Correction Institute in Tallahassee. Now, when I was there, it was an all-men's prison. So apparently now it is an all-woman's prison, which I find interesting. So it's just but here's the thing. I know she's a scumbucket. I got that. I know she recruited young girls to basically come to Epstein Island, in which they were basically raped. I got that. It's horrible what she was involved in. But Epstein did it too. He got to walk. And now she's sitting there. Now they're saying that they're not going to give her any kind of special plea deal because of her testimony and what she basically talked to them about. So the reality is, if she doesn't have a special here's what it says. Request for immunity in exchange for testimony is denied. Now, there's a reason for that. Okay, this is from the Daily Mail. Lawmakers have denied Ghislaine Maxwell's request for congressional immunity in exchange for her testimony, the Daily Mail has learned. Maxwell, a longtime partner of deceased sex offender Jeffrey Epstein, is currently serving a 20-year sentence for sex trafficking and has been in talks with the Trump administration and Congress about dishing on the disgraced financier and his relationships and the list. House Oversight Committee Chairman Joe James Comer announced last week that Maxwell is set to testify before the panel on August 11th. That'll be interesting, August.
Yeah, Johnson,
at the Tallahassee facility where she is serving her prison sentence. He issued her subpoena for her testimony one day after lawmakers voted to have her reveal more about her case and the crimes committed by Epstein. However, after Maxwell's lawyer, David Marcus, set a document with conditions for her testimony, the committee has said they won't accept them. The Oversight Committee will respond to Mr. Maxwell's attorney soon, but it will not consider granting congressional immunity for her testimony, a spokesperson for the panel told Daily Mail. The letter from Marcus said, does that mean she's going to testify or is she going to refuse to testify?
Right.
The letter from Marcus to the committee, which is obtained by the Daily Mail, contains a list of conditions for her to testify, including immunity. Public reports, including your own statements, indicate that the committee intends to question Ms. Maxwell in prison and without a grant of immunity. There are non-starters, it says. Well, here's the thing. She's already in prison for 20 years.
Yeah.
She might as well blow the whistle on every scum bucket she worked with. You know, I mean, if they're not going to let her out, they're not going to let her out.
Yeah.
But the problem is that they may decide not to let her live.
That's exactly
whoever
right.
They are. Probably they are the same people who took down Building 7. Just thought I'd mention that. That's an easy way of looking at it. You say the Illuminati or this or whatever. Or how about the Sabbatean Kabbalist Luciferian Synagogue of Satan? It's the people who took down Building 7 on 9/11.
Well, the thing that I think everybody's realized and enough people have come out and talked about now is that, you know, there are thousands of people that are involved in that. And a lot of these people are all involved in Congress and Senate world leaders. And this stuff is not self-contained in one small group. And that was ironic, you know. They say there's no list. Nobody's involved. Nothing happened. Nothing to see here. But yet she's in prison for trafficking nobody to nobody. But now she's got evidence on it. And so this flip-flop is designed to do exactly what it does, confuse everyone. It's designed to go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. So it's very difficult to determine the lie from the truth. This is how they always do it, right? They bring in all this disinformation, then they bring in a little bit of truth, then they bring in a little bit more truth, then they bring in more disinformation, and they go back and forth. They continue to lie to everybody. And what it does, it keeps everybody so confused, they're so wondering what the heck's going on that nobody can come to a normal, solid conclusion anymore. This is how they do psychological warfare.
They create reasonable doubt.
Correct.
And that's how they do it all the time. Oh, by the way, a giant earthquake has hit the planet.
I saw that.
Biggest one in 14 years. Millions have evacuated. Wave struck parts of Russia from the tsunami, Japan and the United States in the aftermath of a magnitude of 8.8 quake. So I thought that was very
interesting. They were going to do a full coastal
evacuation
of Hawaii, but it hit Hawaii and it wasn't anything significant. I was watching this morning when I got up.
Apparently, you know, Oprah had owned property there on Maui and owed the road.
Ah.
So she owned the road.
She wanted to make sure they didn't get too many tsunamis there, I guess.
Well, she basically opened the Maui road to help the residents flee.
Oh, how nice of her. I forgot, she was one of the only houses that wasn't touched with the Maui fires. That was so ironic, wasn't it?
The billionaire. By the way, they asked me to be on her show many years ago. I said no. Just thought I'd mention that. The billionaire media mogul opened a road on her property, giving people a route to evacuate from coastal areas.
That's so generous of her.
Oprah Winfrey, in her gracious billionaire lifestyle attitude, said, "The peasants may use the road." I'm paraphrasing that. She did not say that. I'm saying that. I'm making a joke of this. Oprah Winfrey opened a private road on a property she owns in Maui, helped the residents evacuate after tsunami warning, according to the authorities on the Hawaiian island. Miss Winfrey, now we're going to call her Miss Winfrey. I could call her a lot of other stuff besides that. The billionaire media mogul has renovated a ranch on the slopes of Mount Halikea, a dormant volcano, which owns a road that runs from the coastal area to the southwestern part of the island to a higher ground.
Jeez, how long is this road?
Oprah's road is open to get to upcountry, Maui officials said in a statement on Tuesday, citing the Maui Police Department. A spokesperson for Ms. with Infantry who cannot be bothered with the peasants to speak to them. Nichols said in an email that law enforcement and the Federal Emergency Management Agency had been contracted to ensure the road was open. Local law enforcement are currently on site helping residents through 50 cars at a time to ensure everybody's safety and not to disturb the foliage on the road. and the plants in her area. They don't want a massive exodus. 50 people can go at one time. What about the other 500 that are sitting there about to get drowned by a tsunami?
Yeah, I don't worry about them. They're fine.
Okay, the road will remain open as long as necessary, Ms. Nichols said, adding that any reports of Ms. Renfrew had not allowed the road to be used by the public would follow. They were doing it 50 people at a time. Some people are so shocked.
Can't even make this up, bro.
You know, I don't know Oprah. I've never met her, okay? But I guarantee you she didn't expect this to come out like this. 50 people at a time.
Like I said, isn't it ironic she's one of the only giant mansions right on the coastal fire area that happened to not get burned down? And then you come find out Blackstone came in and bought up a whole bunch of real estate in there after they said they weren't going to be allowed to.
Judy Wood wrote a book. She was a particle physicist.
Where'd the towers go?
Where did the towers go? And she said what was interesting in the book, everybody needs to read the book. It's free. It's a free PDF online. Now, where did the towers go? W-H-E-R-E. And she said miles away from the tower, and she said this in speculation, as they focused the beam from the satellite-based weapons system they used to bring the towers down. You guys can go ahead and read the book. That cars were blowing up and starting on fire as they moved the beam across New York, miles away. Now, you can read the book. You can think she's crazy, whatever, but she's a particle physicist, and her book is like a lot of calculus, and they're trying to explain how it all works. And then she said what happened is they were being the towers were being basically bombarded with microwave energy somewhere.
This is in California.
And the towers went into what's called molecular resonance. And she goes, that's the reason that people were diving out of the windows. They were being cooked alive inside of the towers by microwave energy. Then they dove out of the windows and committed suicide, killed themselves just to stop the pain. And then the towers exploded and went down. And it's a big puff of smoke, if you remember, that went across the Hudson. And if you remember, the impact, the seismic impact of that tower should have been much greater than it was, but it was not. Because the majority of the tower, according to Dr. Judy Wood, turned into powder. That's why she said, where did the towers go? They turned into powder. And when she released the book, one of her assistants who helped write the book, within a few weeks after the book was released, was found dead in a parking lot. Just thought I'd mention that. So all of this stuff is so weird to me, but when I read stuff and I see stuff about how they can focus a microwave beam from a space-based energy platform, weapons platform, and they can take certain houses out or certain areas out and not touch other people's houses, Austin. That's what he's referring to. Just thought I'd mention that in aggregate so you can understand where we're going with this show right now.
This is exactly what I'm talking about here. These are photos from California fire.
There you go.
You have entire lawns
green
that are green. You have the trees and the houses, concrete block, that are completely burned down. The entire forest around them, you got some charring, you got some burning. Grass isn't even scorched. I mean, it looks like they just got watered. But yet all the houses are specifically gone.
And a couple houses are still there.
They're still sitting there. And then you got other places like this, where this is a giant subdivision. It's the entire subdivision. Each house burn.
Well, there are some houses that aren't touched.
And then people go, oh, well, it's because the flames are basically, the embers were catching the roofs on fire and they're burning down this. But eventually you start reaching a point where you go, why is it, though, that all the subdivisions always look the same? All the houses seem to be burnt in certain areas and you'll have one or two residents that don't get touched. Is it fires? Conspiracy? I've done a lot of fires down here in Florida. And generally, they don't operate like this. I've yet to ever see subdivisions that almost burn completely down with everything around them green and standing, and yet it's simple.
Well, here's one right here. This house looks untouched. This house is like
right.
The rubble. And this is conjecture on our parts. We have no idea.
I don't know.
I know is that when I read that book by Dr. Judy Wood, Where Did the Towers Go? And boy, that thing was hushed up quick in the media.
Oh, yeah.
And as she shows the top of the towers from an aerial view straight down, and all of them were like burned in a circle.
Yeah.
Okay. With the interior, exterior wall still in the bottom of the thing still intact. And like somebody had cored them out. That's how they looked when they fell. And you think, well, how did that happen? That's what she asked. Where did they go?
Yeah.
Why are they not here? And why were the people diving out of the windows? It's pretty, but that book needs to be read by everybody.
Here's another research study that just got released 2 months ago. It's getting really some coverage. It says, examining the effects of supplemental magnesium on self-reported anxiety and sleep quality, a systematic review. And it goes into detail here on how there's been so much discussion about magnesium.
Psychiatric disorders.
It's psychiatric disorders. It says the search was limited to anxiety disorders and sleep disorders, including interventional trials only. And so they went through and looked at all this, and it came down to the conclusion. Let's pull it down here. And it's crazy because it says higher doses of magnesium appear to be more effective. Pull up camera four. To pull up effective in addressing anxiety and sleep disturbances, as all studies with negative results use low comparative dosages of the mineral in their treatment interventions. Additionally, magnesium may be more effective in combination with other active ingredients, including B6, which we talk about all the time, especially the B complex, in treatment of anxiety disorders. It should be noted that B6 is heavily involved in neurotransmitter synthesis, which may underline the possible trend. Now, one of the biggest issues that you see in a lot of these studies is they do like 100, 200 milligrams of magnesium. That's it. And they still get positive results from the group.
It's not enough.
It's not enough. You know, the magnesium thionate that we have, we got a whole gram of stuff in here. Gram of magnesium thionate with 200 milligrams of magnesium malate. That's in one scoop. That's 1,200 milligrams. That's why that product's so effective, because it's a super high quality magnesium in a really clinically relevant dose. That's why you see such positive results of that formula. That's why people feel so good when they take it. So remember that a lot of times these tests or these studies show positive results, but they don't ever use a high enough dosage. And that's why they also recommend, when they talk about B6 here, B6 is a crucial B vitamin along with almost all the other ones as far as for neurotransmitter functioning. That's why the B complex we have is so high dose. That's why the purple sticks we have, we got B6 in it as well along with other B vitamins. It's so important. If they're water soluble, you got to keep them in your system all the time and maintain healthy doses of them to keep them relevant, or else they flush out of your body, especially right now in Florida. It's hot down here. I didn't even talk about it on the news. It's warm. Everybody now they're going, oh, it's global warming. It's hot. I'm not going to lie about it being hot down here. However, the ironic part about it was we just had these massive storms everywhere, these massive flooding. When you start doing geoengineering, which they've been doing for almost 25, 30 years now, knowingly on the entire United States, and you start doing basically the chemtrail spraying or the HAARP or whatever you want to call it, it's geoengineering. They've admitted to it. They've talked about it. Now they've come out and admitted it again, but now they're saying they're only doing a little bit. They haven't been doing it very long. They've been doing it for a very significant period of time. Go look Operation Popeye up. That was during the Vietnam War. That's when they first started experimenting with weather warfare and cloud seeding. That was in the 60s, I think. In the 70s, it got released as far as declassified. That's been going on for a while. When you start doing things, you start playing God, so to speak, and you start changing things from here to there that are unnatural, you start having side effects. It's just like you've seen with the Monsanto Roundup-resistant corn. That corn, yeah, a lot of bugs won't eat it. The weeds don't kill it. Roundup doesn't kill it. But then you start having all these health problems on the backside, and what does the human beings that consume it? And now we're starting having these super spreader weeds, or super weeds they have now, that won't die from Roundup. Nothing kills them because they're getting basically defensive to the Roundup. All these things have side effects when you start messing with nature, and this is what's going on now, in my opinion, with a whole lot of the issues we're seeing with this crazy weather, with these giant flash floods in Texas and this stuff, New Mexico and North Carolina. So it's something to be aware of. But again, at the end of the day, it's not something you can do about it at the time. It's just stay prepped, stay strong, stay healthy, and keep your B vitamins, your magnesium up, especially if you're outside sweating all day, because it is a hot one right now.
You know, it's unbelievable, the temperature right now.
It's not bad in the morning. It's palatable in the morning. But, man, you get out that about 4 o'clock in the afternoon in the direct sun, 4 or 5 o'clock. I was out there yesterday running around. I was like, it's getting warm.
I set my AC on 74 at night. And it just doesn't turn off all night. It just stays on all night.
Yeah.
And I guess because the attic is still so hot.
Yeah.
You know, and it's trying to fight that.
Plus, mine's been doing fine, but I also have that spraying foam. Mine's an igloo up there.
Yeah, you
that was, you were right about that.
Yeah, that was right. We put closed cell polyurethane, open cell polyurethane foam on his underneath his
spray.
And so his whole attic is basically
the attic doesn't generally get more than about 10 degrees hotter than the main house.
Yeah.
You can go up in the attic in the middle. I messed up there with the AC, and there's a check it yesterday when I'm up there. And it was probably 90 in the attic, 88, 90.
Instead of 107.
Instead of 160, 107 with that dark roof that I have. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, yeah, that spray and foam is definitely where it's at now in Florida.
And what I did, we have a metal building up in North Carolina. I had them spray the closed cell polyurethane foam because the metal roof will sweat.
Yep.
And if you put the open cell on the metal roof, it'll drip like a doggone rainforest inside of the building.
And they tell you, too, you don't want to do the closed cell in conventional houses with roofing and shingles, because what it does is if you go to change the shingles out in 20 years, that stuff is like straight concrete. and it'll actually, you pull all the entire roof and boarding and everything up as far as when you go to change the shingles.
And plus it overheats the shingles because it won't let them breathe at all.
It cooks them. Cooks literally, them, yeah. The closed cell actually breathes. It's fluffy. It's fluffy. You can put your finger in it.
Mm-hmm. But you can't use that, you know
on metal
because it will sweat. Rust it. It'll rust it. It'll sweat. And it'll drip all over everything. They told me up in North Carolina, if you put this in here, because it's a garage, if you put this open cell in here, you're going to hate it because you're going to ruin the paint on your car. It's going to drip on them all the time.
Yeah.
It's going to be like sweat. A rainforest, you know, because it sweats hot, cold, hot, cold, hot, cold. And then it's like a sponge, and it just starts dripping.
Yeah.
So that's a little bit of information.
Just a little construction knowledge you guys are doing with insulation.
What's your next story on?
This is an interesting one right here. I had it pulled up. They've now stated, Netanyahu came out last night, and he said they're putting a plan together to essentially claim the vast majority of Gaza to be Israel territory now if Hamas does not accept their immediate deadline. If Hamas refuses, Netanyahu and Israel will start annexing portions of Gaza, starting with the buffer zone it created along the perimeter, proceeding to claim more land in the north. Eventually, Gaza will be claiming as Israel land, fulfilling the wishes. They're saying now here as well, Smotrich.
Oh, this is surprise.
He said at a conference 2 months ago, Gaza will be totally destroyed with all 2.3 million residents concentrated in the extreme south. So they're going to be sandwiched between Israel and Egypt. And essentially they want to push them out. They want them completely out, which we already told you this is going to happen. Now they're finally admitting to it. And what's crazy about it is, like, you look at a photo like this, right? So this was Gaza, Palestine. Pre-war. This is the hospital right here in the red. This is what it looks like now.
It's rubble.
There's nothing there. Majority of everything around the hospitals are rubble. Pretty much everything's rubble everywhere. And so, I mean, let me say this. I really don't care about foreign wars. Everybody needs to handle their own business. This really isn't our problem, but here's the problem. They've made it our problem by stealing our taxpayer dollars and doing this. That's the biggest issue I have about it.
The Israelis don't want us to film out of the airplane window at the devastation inside Gaza, but I spent 10 minutes looking at it with my own eyes, and I can tell you communities in the north of Gaza that I knew well are flat. There's nothing left of them. But it's okay because we have to support Israel.
Well, we got to pay for it.
No, yeah.
And we're going to have to pay for the rebuilding, too.
Well, we're paying for this. All the money we give these guys. Yeah. We're paying for you. By the way, you tax their tax dollars. Okay? All you know, Zionists who are out there and supporting all of this, regardless of what they do, it's your tax dollars that are paying for this. So I just thought I'd mention that. So whether you want them to or not, they've got a gun to your head called IRS, and you're going to give them money, and they're going to give this money to these guys so they can continue the Gaza genocide.
See, I've always gone along the lines of George Washington. He said, don't entangle yourself with foreign wars or foreign affairs, period. It will bankrupt the country. Stay out of them.
You know, years ago, many years ago, 10, 12 years ago, I had a person that I had known who was on another podcast as a guest on a regular basis.
Yeah.
And this person was interesting. And finally, one day, I said something about, you know, Gaza is just an open-air concentration camp to start with. I said that, you know, just 10 years ago. And a guy went berserk on me. I mean, called me up screaming and yelling and carrying on. And I told him, I said, well, dude, what's wrong with you? Why are you so angry? Well, I'm Jewish. I said, oh. All right. So that means no matter what Israel does, you have to support it. And personally, I think he was involved in disinformation. That's my opinion. But I'm not going to mention any names because I don't know that. By the way, this is an interesting article about 2 years old, about 2 years ago, celebrity cosmetic dermatology, Dr. Paul Jared Frank, noticed a new type of patient arriving in his New York practice for cosmetic surgery. Amid an explosion of the number of Americans losing weight with drugs like Ozempic, he saw a dramatic spike in clients experiencing unwelcome side effects who were seeking facelifts. Thought I'd mention a little bubble gum here. Although they felt much better losing weight, in some ways they felt they looked older. They did. Yeah. They looked old, had the Ozempic face. This was due to the loss of volume in their face. Frank started using the term Ozempic face, a label he believes he coined. I guess he wants to get paid for that. I'm just messing with him. To describe the phenomenon, it has become a social media byword for the sagging skin followed out by a hollowed out appearance that can accompany the use of medications. Usually with people from their mid-40s and above, once you start losing 10-plus pounds, you get a deflated look. That's when we let the air out of you, right?
Yeah.
And Frank, who is the co-founder of the aesthetic healthcare brand, whatever, I'm not going to promote that, and the author of the Pro-Aging Playbook, certainly people losing 20 to 30 pounds plus are going to have this problem. You can only refill a deflated balloon so much, then surgical intervention is necessary. He says, the semaglutide, the Ozempic, works by stimulating the pancreas to trigger insulin production, curbing users' appetite and contributing to feelings of fullness. Although the U.S. Food and Drug Administration has approved Ozempic to treat type 2 diabetes, doctors now commonly prescribe it off-label for weight management. Today, more than 20% of his patients are trying to get facelifts and fat transfers because they look so bad from having lost so much weight. The American Society of Plastic Surgeons, which published an annual report on surgery trend, found that 2 in 5 of the Ozempic patients wanted cosmetic surgery. One said, it looked like I had melted. Just kind of just shrink.
Yeah.
Among the patients opting for a facelift was Kimberly, a local government land use administrator, having lost weight after undergoing a gastric sleeve in 2019. She regained 40 pounds during the COVID pandemic and was prescribed Ozempic again, even with a gastric sleeve last year, despite describing the drug's managed impact as almost a miracle, taking her weight from 170 to 125 pounds. Remember, she went back up to 170 after the gastric sleeve. The 55-year-old faced new concerns over her appearance. Everything was just kind of hung and was loose everywhere, she said over Zoom, recalling seeing her face in a photo shared by a friend. I no longer felt like I had cheeks, and I had a lot of that loose skin under my neck. It looked like I had melted. It was horrifying, she added. It was so disheartening to see how my face looked and how it had changed. I thought I looked a lot older than I am. After consulting plastic surgery, Dr. Anthony Bertland, New Jersey, she underwent a deep plane facelift that lifted her skin and repositioned some of the deeper muscles and connective tissues. Man, that sounds painful.
That sounds painful, dude.
She also opted for a neck lift that defined and smoothed her neck contours while addressing excess skin left by her weight loss. Before I did this, I probably looked closer to 60 or maybe even older, and now people recently think that I'm in my 40s, she said. People I haven't seen in a while say, you look so much better and healthier. And it's nice to hear because for a while I didn't look healthy and I certainly wasn't happy. The number of facelifts performed in the U.S. jumped 8% from 2022 to 2023, and a lot of they're saying is because of the use of these weight loss drugs. Now, here's the problem that you're going to have, though. Let's say a person says, I'm not going to do the weight loss drugs, I'm going to lose the weight. That is still possible to do that if you just change your diet and start exercising. Primarily, it's the diet. The problem is, if you lose this much weight, regardless of how you do it, Austin, you're going to have saggy skin.
Yes.
So now here's the key, and this is just really, it's important. And ladies, listen to me, and men, you too. Both, everybody listen to me. Monitor your weight on a regular basis. I know Austin does. I do. I weigh in every single morning. You say, well, that's obsessive. Whatever. Okay? It works for me. And I monitor my weight because I did not have a tendency to gain weight. So I learned that if I eat the right foods, I monitor my weight every day. If I go up a little bit, I can cut back on my intake that day, and I drop the weight back down again. And so it's a lot easier because anytime you lose a bunch of weight when you're past the age of 40, you're going to have saggy skin. It's just the way it works. Now, if you want to spend $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 on cosmetic surgery to get your body fixed, you can do that too. But wouldn't it have been easier to start with, Austin, had you just monitored the weight to begin with and not allowed yourself to go up 100 pounds?
Well, that's a huge factor on it, and that's one of the reasons why we put together a lot of the body, the fat-burning protocols.
And the collagen.
And the collagen.
And the vitamin C. That keeps that stuff from sagging as much.
What I was getting at, too, is the secondary part of that is making sure you're increasing and maintaining your levels of protein and collagen in your diet. One of the biggest factors that's going on with these Ozempic
you're eating your protein.
Is your body starts going insanely catabolic. What does that mean? It means you start eating muscle tissue for fuel.
And that's why you sag so bad.
That's why you start sagging so much. Because you'll see bodybuilders when they get contest prep phase. You get that real dry, hungry look. However, a lot of times you've got a lot of muscle tissue that's still in your face structure. Your face is just sunk in. Your skin's tight. What's happening with Ozempic is they're losing so much fat and muscle that they're getting this very odd-looking body structure. I saw a celebrity, I'm not going to put his name out there, he was real overweight, he's been in a lot of movies, and he did it. He talked about Ozempic, and he was running around, and I mean, he had 11, 12-inch arms, running around. He's skinny now, I'll give him credit, he's skinny. Waist is tinier and stuff down, but he looks like a toothpick. He looks like he's about 150, 160 pounds. And the problem with that is, yeah, you dropped all the weight, as you start getting older, especially as a man, trying to rebuild that much muscle tissue in your 30s and 40s when you lose it becomes increasingly difficult. It takes a long time to do it. You got to be in the gym all the time. You got to start eating in large amounts of protein.
If your testosterone's not high enough, you may have to go on hormone replacement
therapy.
That's
the thing. That's the other product.
That's the way it is.
The other product, too, is Ozempic is causing hormone issues in men, from what I've been reading, is it's also dropping your testosterone. Here's why. if your body's not exercising properly, your body's not getting the proper amount of nutrients, it's not getting the right amount of fats, it's not going to produce enough testosterone. And also, too, they've shown higher amounts of muscle tissue in men usually contributes to higher levels of testosterone because the body is trying to maintain it, and the body's signaling and triggering, we need testosterone, produce testosterone. The food's dialed in, the supplements are dialed in, the nutrients are dialed in, the fats are dialed in, the hormones are dialed in. Ozempic wrecks all of that, and it allows you to lose weight without maintaining any significant proper intake of food and nutrients, and that's the issue that starts happening with it.
Well, man, your brain is going to need glucose.
Correct.
It's going to digest muscle. It has to convert it.
Yeah.
And, you know, now the crazy part about it is it can't take fat and turn it back into glucose. It doesn't work
right
that way. And so you start losing the muscle. That's why you go into ketosis. And so every pound of muscle you lose, you lower your basal metabolic rate by 50 pounds.
Yep.
I'm sorry, by 50 calories
50
a day.
Calories, yep.
So in other words, if you lose 10 pounds of muscle, now you're going to have to take 10 times 50, 500 less calories in a day just not to gain weight. And so that's a problem. So it's better. Here's the thing again. You guys are always busting my chops. Oh, by the way, my email's messed up right now. I can't check my emails. I got to get
that
fixed.
Ask Dr. Ted B.
Yes, that's not working.
What'd you do to it?
I don't know. It's just the download from the server. So I got to take it in.
Really?
The
is that what you did?
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't know. No, what happens is it changes password.
Oh, yeah. Yahoo does that.
And I don't know how to get all that done. So I'm going to have the computer guy do that so it won't download from the server. So I'm going to get that fixed today. But so if you ask me these questions, I'm telling you, you're busting my chops. And so, and you haven't answered me. Well, I can't answer you right now. But what's interesting about this, in the event that people, you know, want to lose weight, figure out, here's how I'm going to give you a little hint on it again. If you're a woman and you want to weigh 120 pounds or maintain 120 pounds times 10, that's 1,200 calories a day. That's 200 calories six times a day. Each 200 calories six times a day. That's it. If you're a guy and you want to weigh 180 pounds, it's 1,800 calories. That's six 300 calorie meals. It's just six 300 calories meals a day. And basically drink plenty of water. Make sure it's no fluoride and no chlorine. Very, very important. You drink the water. If you have the fluorine and the chlorine in it from tap water, it messes up the thyroid because the thyroid thinks that's a halogen or iodine, and it absorbs it, and it decreases thyroid function. So many people have so many problems with their thyroid because they're drinking tap water, Austin, and they don't understand it. You go to the grocery store, and you can get reverse osmosis water for like 29 cents a gallon. You can buy the BPA-free containers, or you can bring glass in and refill them all the time. That's what I do when I'm on the road or when I'm up in North Carolina if my distiller runs empty on me. So it's really important to do that and stay away from high glycemic foods. Stay away from pasta, bread, rice, fruit juice, too many fruit pieces, too many bananas. Okay, you can eat too many bananas and gain weight. And so all this stuff is really, really important. Stay with low glycemic that don't turn to sugar very quickly in the body, and your insulin won't spike. And you'll say, well, I've been on this for 2 days and I haven't lost any weight. Stay on for 2 weeks and watch what happens.
Yeah. Well, the biggest thing, especially if you're active, you're trying to maintain it. You know, if you need carbohydrates for training sessions, I always say chicken, brown rice, and vegetables. That's the best option. Brown rice is pretty low glycemic, especially eating with protein. Another tip, too, is if you are eating carbohydrates, always eat your major proteins first.
Slows down the absorption.
Slows down the absorption and maintains blood sugar, maintains insulin levels. Never eat a large dose of carbohydrates with the protein last. Like, for example, last night I made a whole bunch of ground beef, organic ground beef, about a quarter of a cow. Made a bunch of ground beef, had some rice, had some broccoli with it. Well, I made sure that all the broccoli and all the beef was basically mixed in together and the rice on the side. And I ate the vast majority of the beef. Then I ate it with my rice later on. So I got the protein and fats in before, which maintains and stabilizes blood sugar. Now, another thing you can do that'll really help out, I do this a lot, especially if I'm trying to lean down, is throw the cinnamon extract before the beginning of a meal. That's the main product of the week that we had going on. That's going to be changing today. But that is great because that's got the ginseng. It's got the 10-to-1 cinnamon aquatic bark extract in it. It's got the what's the other one in there? Let me pull it up.
And that berberine works well.
Berberine stacks with it, yes. Because those two together, what they do is they keep your blood sugar stable. That's one of the biggest factors if you're consuming carbohydrates at all, is you've got to keep your insulin level stable. You can't have them spiking. The only time under any circumstances you need even a mild insulin spike is post-workout when your blood sugar's crashed and you're taking in a lot of protein, a lot of nutrients, and you want to shuttle them to the muscle. Insulin is great for that. But that's only used for carbohydrates post-workout, and it doesn't need to be on a regular basis.
And be careful with the weight. Don't be going up and down, up and down, up and down. Stay stable. I know my mom told me one time, you know, she'd gotten older, and I told her, you know, she'd gained about 20 pounds. And I told her, I said, you know, you put on 20 pounds. She goes, yep, but I'm keeping it on too. And I started laughing at her. She lived to be in her 90s. you know, smoking her cigarettes and drinking her beer. And I remember I said to her, I said, why? She goes, when I start losing weight, I look old.
Yeah, face starts looking lighter.
And so I'd rather just carry the extra 10, 15, 20 pounds. I don't care.
Yeah.
And she did. And so she just, and I think we all have a little bit of that vanity, don't we? A little bit. Maybe you don't. Maybe you got a halo you're going to adjust right now. Say, I'm not like that. I'm not, whatever. I get fussed at when I talk about exercise on the show. It's not an exercise show.
Yeah, somebody sent me that too the other day. They got, why are you always talking about being active? Well, contrary to belief, to anyone that doesn't get this, our bodies were designed to be active. And it doesn't have to be necessarily in a gym. You can be out wheelbarrowing, running loads of dirt. You can be digging a trench. You can be cutting trees down. You can be doing all kinds of stuff and be active. It doesn't have to be in the gym. I just reference that because that's usually what I do because I'm in the office a lot with customers, on the phone, on the computer, and I like going to the gym. That's my me time to get away and go train and lift weights. You don't have to go to the gym if you don't want to go to the gym. There's a ton of other things you can do. But being active is absolutely 100% essential.
And I've got to say something that's really important. We all get this. The name of the company is healthmasters.com. It's about health.
That's the logo. If you guys forgot what it stands for.
I mean, I hate to be, kind of silly like that, but it's Health Masters. You know, we manufacture supplements. It's the latest world news and health research.
The Health Masters podcast with the Ted and Austin Broder Show.
Now, we could do the whole show just on health. We could, every single week.
I actually get compliments when we do that. People like it when we do a lot
You know,
that.
But why, though, right? Because we don't do it all the time.
I know. We probably should.
No, if you do it all the time, what ends up happening is, I've already heard of the top 10 foods never eat. I'm not going to watch a show today. They're going to do that again. And I have a friend of mine, been on the radio for 20 years. Plays tape all the time. Always playing tape.
We can't always play tape.
No, he always plays tape, and it's always the same thing. How to reduce heart disease. How to reduce cancer. Yeah. How to reduce, and every show is exactly what it was a week, 2 weeks earlier. And there's rotated. And he has no numbers. There's nobody listening, Austin.
Well, you got to change it up. You got to bring new stuff.
Well, I told him. I said, if you want to get a bigger audience, you have to have a bigger net. You have to let people know you're going to talk. See, I love talking about God. I love talking about Jesus. That's a great stat.
I was trying to find that. Yeah, that's the cinnamon. That's the bourbon. You want to melt body fat. Really simple. Change your diet. Throw this in and get some exercise and training in. If you really want to kickstart it, as long as you're in good shape and you can handle it, hit about 10 to 15 minutes of fasted cardio in the
first
morning.
Thing in the morning.
I can't reiterate that anymore. Throw in some Muscle Blast, throw in a Purple Stick. You can have any of that in the morning, but no significant food. Do morning fasting. Even if you want to walk around your block, you're walking around your yard or property or whatever you got to do. It's not running. You're not sprinting. You're not doing any high intensity first thing in the morning because you have no glycogen.
Well, what happens is you release a hormone called glucagon.
Yes.
And that glucagon burns stored body fat when you do that.
Very quickly. So morning fasted cardio is the fastest, quickest.
Because you can burn fat like that for energy. It does do that very well. But you have to release glucagon in order to do it.
And that's how you do it.
When you're empty on your stomach and you have no food in your stomach, you could basically really produce glucagon.
Well, and that's why, like this, we have the B vitamins. We also have chromium, by the way, which is in the cinnamon extract. Chromium is great for maintaining blood sugar. And then you got the green tea extract, which also stimulates the immune – or not the immune system, basically stimulates the
you can do it. Come on. Come on, we can do it.
The thyroid stimulates the thyroid and basically starts stimulating the everything as far as burning body fat. And so, again, that's something you really got to look at on here. Fasted cardio, it's amazing.
Well, no, it does. And
cooks your metabolism. It gets it running.
Well, it's so funny because that was originally coined. That term was, first thing in the morning like that and working out by a guy from a year, about 25 years ago. He had a magazine out. It's all bankrupt, gone now. But it was interesting because he was one who was always saying that you have to do the fastest cardio in order to burn body fat first thing in the morning. And he was right. But the problem is, and as he got, he's always blowing. He also be always be mean to everybody in their 50s.
Yeah.
Oh, he's let himself go. Guess what? He let himself go, too.
Did he?
Oh, he looks awful. But he was a great copywriter, though. He made a bunch of money and decided just to chill out, I guess.
Sometimes that happens.
Yeah, but the whole key is what? You get on the scales first thing in the morning after you use the bathroom every single day. You log in your weight.
Yep.
If you gain weight, you don't eat as much that day. Well, that's a big headache. Okay, I got it. I know that it's just a habit. I can show you, and I've done it before. I brought my log in here. You've seen it, Austin.
Yeah.
Page after page after year after year after year of me writing down what body part I worked, how much I weighed.
Tell you.
And what day of the week it is.
Then the word that I was, it was eluding me, the thyroid, the really important one, that's another one that also is really, really important. And we talked about that in detail, so I'm not going to go into on that anymore.
But again, if you're drinking chlorinated water, you're going to mess up your thyroid.
Yes, because we actually have all the glandular whole glands in here with the
thyroid gland, adrenal gland,
spleen, thymus. And this is all bovine, by the way, all Argentina bovine where we get this from. That's why this product is so expensive.
We don't do the swine.
The raws to get this product, I've seen the raws on this. This product is really expensive. And so that's what the thing about it is. It's Argentina bovine. It's really, really good product.
Argentina has the best cattle.
Yeah, good cattle.
They've got great cattle. Yeah. But so all these people are going in to get a Ozempic surgery now, Ozempic face. And it's kind of sad, actually, because, you know, they've tried to lose weight because they wanted to look better. They did. And a lot of times the weight loss is temporary, but the looks are permanent. They're all sagged out. So then they got to do the facelift. Like this one lady said, she had the gastric sleeve done, then she gained 50, 60 pounds back. Now she had to go in and have the facelift. And she does look a whole lot better than that. But again, be really, really careful if you have a facelift and make sure that you know the doctor that you're using. Because I know a whole bunch of people that basically have gone to surgeries and doctors who have completely butchered them. Some of the top TV evangelists, one lady in particular, has gone to some butcher. And this lady looks awful. And I wouldn't support her anyhow, but the point is she looks like a freak.
Didn't they have that show? I know I've seen it. It's called Botched. They had a whole TV show on this. Mm-hmm. As far as people getting plastic surgery done. That's not one of those things, man. You're going to get that done. You can't be cheaping out on it.
I knew this one medical doctor, and he was supposedly in the health, but didn't know much about health. And I remember he wanted to have cosmetic surgery done. He wanted a facelift. He's in his 40s.
Yeah.
He didn't even need it. He just wanted to have it done. And he'd do acid peels and all kinds of weird stuff. I mean, he was kind of a freak, to be honest with you. And so what happened is he went around to different plastic surgeons, because he's a medical doctor, trying to get them to do the surgery for free. He wanted to get a discount.
Not the best option in that category.
All right. And you go, wow, sounds like a great idea. Yeah. You talk about getting messed up. They end up looking like a girl.
It's kind of the concept of trying to get the cheapest, most basic bid to get your plane repaired and you have a single prop plane. Kind of the same analogy.
We're kind of like brain surgery.
Yeah.
I want to find the cheapest brain surgery I can find so you guys can whittle around in my head for a minute. Oh, you've never done surgery like this before? Oh, great. How much are you going to charge me? Oh, it's going to be free? That's great. Let's go ahead and sign up.
Well, it's experimental because this is my first time. That's what you don't want.
Don't you remember when we were in the airplane and we lost the alternator?
Yeah.
And I went to a shop to get it repaired. And they did. They repaired the alternator. Next day, it failed again.
Yeah.
Because they didn't have a replacement alternator.
Yeah.
So they repaired the alternator.
I remember. It
failed again. Two emergency landings in a row. And I'm like, this is great. So I immediately flew the plane back to the place that we had worked on all the time, which was ridiculously overpriced. Did the best work ever. But this is our life we're talking about. And I said, I need you to fix the aircraft, and I need you to put me an alternator in that's not going to fail in 10 minutes.
It's kind of the same way, too, when you're maintaining your vehicle. You know, some people, they always want the absolute cheapest Bobo Chinese tires they can buy.
Tires.
One of my best friends works at a truck shop. And you'd be shocked how many sometimes people come in there, and they will skimp on tires over $20, $30. To get the cheapest Chinese one. And then they come back in a month later and they go, why'd you sell me these? Each tire's bubbled. I've seen bubbles the size of footballs on truck tires from China. Personally seen it. And people go, I don't know why. I'm like, dude, you paid $100 for a 35-inch mud tire from China. And you refused to buy anything else. Why did you think it was going to be anything different? Well, I don't want to pay the $125 for the Michelin or the Nittos because they were more money. And I'm like, dude, your tires, you're riding on them at 70, 80 miles an hour with your life and your family on it. Don't buy the cheapest tires, especially on a vehicle you're on the highway. Now, if it's an off-road vehicle, it's a, you know, driving around town, you know, something, whatever, it doesn't really matter. But if you're on the interstate highway and you're doing long road trips, or especially if you're pulling a trailer and you're heating those tires up, don't be using the cheapest tires, man. I've seen some bad blowouts.
I had a friend of mine one time. He had a 7.3 liter in it.
Right? Yeah.
And he had the cheapest tires you could find on there.
I remember that.
I'm not going to tell you his name. And he's running on the highway at 100 miles an hour.
Get tuned. Remember that.
And I said to him, what are you doing, dude? You got Bobo tires in this truck. They're good tires.
7,000-pound pickup truck.
I said, these aren't 10-ply tires. These are Bobo tires. I said, please, if you're going to do this, let me out. Horrible driver. He later had an unbelievably horrible accident.
Yeah, I've watched some bad accidents with tire failures.
And the worst tire you're going to get on a sports car is a Pirelli.
Yeah, don't touch those.
That in Michelin's. That in Goodyear. Don't do that. get Michelins.
I'm not getting paid by Michelin. No. They don't sponsor me even when I used to race, but only touch Michelin. Michelin, no, if you're actually going to run a tire.
The Pilot Cup 2s or the Pilot Cup 2 R's, if you're going to have a sports car.
R's a track tire.
R's a track tire, and if they're not a wet weather tire at all, it's dangerous. But just do that. Oh, we're out of time, Austin.
Talk about Michelins. Guys, I appreciate you. Thank you for the support.
Yeah, I'll keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus all the days of your life. Remember that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. I had some stuff I want to talk to you about as far as churches this morning, but I ran out of time.
We'll get it tomorrow.
We'll do it tomorrow. Hey, I love you guys, and I appreciate you so much. Today was a kind of a fireside chat show.
Fun show. It's Wednesday. Appreciate you guys. Call us if you need anything. Team Health Masters. I'll be changing the product of the week over earlier or later today. Thank you, guys.